Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opal, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
The writer, playwright and documentary maker Moncón McGann wrote in his last book, 32 Words for Field, about the links between the Irish language and landscape and about seeing the world differently in Irish to the way you see it in English. And now he's bringing some of that knowledge about language and the natural world to children in a new, beautifully illustrated book called Tree Dogs, Banshee Fingers and Other Irish Words for Nature. And Moncón is here. You're very welcome.
Hello, Claire.
Thanks for being here. So the illustrations on this book, we were just chatting about them in the break by Steve Dugan. It's a really lovely looking book, but they're quite unusual, aren't they? They're quite stark, the illustrations.
They're very dramatic. So Steve Dugan did the front cover of my last book of 32 Words for Fields. And he does a few different styles, but one is beautiful. He does these woodcuts. Sometimes they're done on a computer. Sometimes they're actually done woodcuts. But they're not the sort of pretty, soft Disney type images. There's something almost medieval about them. And it suits a language that is medieval and way older than medieval. So
yeah,
it's
there's a lot of magic in the Irish words for nature, for animals and for things that happen in the natural world. Mm-hmm. Superstition, almost.
Yeah, just because there was magic in our mindset, you know, until the 1930s, until the 1950s, maybe. So everything, particularly, you know, the reality wasn't set, and particularly the natural world, things happened. And we all remember our uncle coming back, or our grandfather coming back from the pub and seeing things on a hill, seeing a fairy fort, seeing a particular shimmer on the bog or the sea. So it's just natural that a world that wasn't understood, you know, the natural world, that magical things could happen, magical good things could drift into it. And so luckily that's stayed.
You're reminding me of a story now I often heard in childhood. It was a legend, you know, that somebody was coming home from the pub and got stuck in a field and couldn't find the way out. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
where the branches would all join together and the gate disappeared.
Well done, exactly. There's still so many fields like that. And then the Fodine Mara, a sod of grass that if you stood on it, you were caught inside the field. And if you go on YouTube, you'll find men and people still telling the experience of being caught in a field, like in the modern day. And you know, the only way of getting out of it is you turn your jacket inside out. And then somehow the spell is broken and you can escape.
If only we'd known that. The men who'd come home from the pub and got stuck in the field, turn your jacket inside out. Now, the tree dog is the squirrel.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So I suppose the more common word for squirrel is irarua, mm-hmm. or for a red squirrel or iragloss. But then what's beautiful about the madra creen, the tree dog, it's so many words in Irish for nature are almost like how a child would look at nature. They're not this categorization, this looking at it from a botanical or a biological viewpoint. It's like, so, you know, a squid is a maher suig, a sucking mother. You know, this mother with this lovely maternal mother, like a squid lays up to 70,000 eggs and then cares for them all with all of her tentacles. So it's a lovely description. Or as you say, a tree dog, madra creen. But even that, the other words, irarua and iragloss, brings us to a whole different journey. Irarua, red squirrel. But of course, rua isn't red. You know, Darrig is red.
Yeah,
for a bright, sparky, artificial red. But a brownie red is rua. And so when you're speaking Irish, it sort of makes you look at things differently, like iragloss particularly. So if a grey squirrel, we know in school, we learn the word lia is the Irish for grey, okay? But lia is a particular type of grey. There's like loads of different homes of, like, gloss can be green, mm-hmm. iragloss, green squirrel, but then gloss is natural green and then uinhe is artificial green. But as well as being, gloss is the colour of the sea, you see, and the sea can be green and it can be grey and it can be light and blue. So our consciousness, you know, the Irish mind saw the word gloss in a different way. Gloss was the sea, which was green or grey. Gloss was also the colour of homespun cloth. Actually, like what I'm wearing, that sort of grey,
yes.
Pale woolen clothes or iron.
What it is it's say what you see.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to say what you logically know about this thing.
That's it. And if you're saying what you see, you need to look a lot harder at your surroundings. Like I remember my granny used to bring me out to see the dawn, particularly around Easter time, you know. But she had five different words in Irish for the different gradations of the dawn. And that made me see the dawn a totally different way. If we just say dawn, it's just one thing. But she'd first have me looking out for Dadiga an Dáil Néill, the blushing or the reddening of the two clouds. And then Bánú an Lé, which was like the brightening of the day. And then Brachan Lé, which was the first speckle or the next spot after Bánú. Bánú is like whitening, Bracha a bit more speckled. And then there'd be Fáinne Gael an Lé, which was the first ring of the day. And then there was Éirí na Gréine, the rise of the sun. So it makes
beautiful. It takes you through all of the different stages.
Exactly.
The Madra Alta is the wolf, the wild dog.
Exactly, yeah. And again, there's a few different words for what's lovely. There's so many words with Madra in it because a dog was a key element. You know, we were first sort of a Neolithic farming people who came from the middle of Europe and we brought dogs with us. Dogs were always part of our world. So then we saw a little thing like a dog running up a tree, that was squirrel, that was like a tree dog. And then when we saw like a Madrishka or a Dawarchu, an otter, it was like a little dog in the water. And then the Madra Alta, the wild dog, was obviously the wolf. Mm. And I mean, there's also other words, Machtida, for a wolf.
Yeah, that's an unusual one. And you say here that no one is quite sure why it was called the son of the land.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that we can think about is that, particularly in Irish mythology, the wolf is such a key element. But in world mythology, like Little Red Riding Hood, and in cultures even all over the world, the wolf was believed to be half sort of man or descended from man. And particularly you can see this because the wolf is just so intelligent. You know, when he looks at you, you feel he knows more. So there was the Machtir, the son of the land, that there was a sense of the, yeah, that he was actually part human, mm-hmm. part of.
I want to talk to you about the Slán Luas Mór.
Yeah.
Because as a little throwaway in here, you say that actually this ribworth leaf, mm-hmm. will cure a nettle stick, not like a dock leaf, which is just a placebo. I thought, how can he just say that? We've been using that my whole life for nettle stings and it doesn't work.
I mean, placebo works a lot. Well, placebo has 60% chance of working, or maybe higher for some people. But yeah, what's amazing about the Slán Luas Mór, you know, Slán is the word, you know, Slán to health. Slán means health. So Slán Luce is just plant or herb. So health plant. And this, like the Slán Luas, the ribwort plantain or the greater plantain, you know them. They're the ones, they have these little, like little tiny bulrushes on top of them, little,
yes.
brown catkins on top. And kids used to play soldiers with them. They, mm-hmm. try and behead one from the other. And it's just amazingly powerful for wounds. It's capable, in terms of mythology, it's capable of reviving the dead. So this was, they said, what was put on the wounds of Christ. But it's just, it's amazing. If you just, you know, we'll always find dogs leaves, but we'll also always see the plantain. You rub that into a wound and you'll see how much it heals really
quickly.
It's
a hardy leaf, isn't it? It's
exactly.
a tough one to put on a wound, I would imagine.
No, the plantain, no, these long green leaves, no, they're kind of soft. And even you put them in water and they'll make an amazing for coughs. But then I was up in Donegal 2 months ago and a woman said to me, a woman called Margaret Kitty Neveal, she collects bog terms and she had another word, she called a loose fodric for it. And she said, oh, you, for any wound whatsoever, she said, her mother and her granny and her grandmother made tea out of it or made a salve out of it.
Okay.
Luckily, we're so fortunate that this information is still
culture. It's still here.
Yeah.
And a lot of these words then for animals can be used to insult people or to describe people. I'm thinking of the stoat here. She is the stoat. Is he on Asog? Asog?
Exactly, Asog. Yeah, from Askan. Askan means an eel. So they saw a stoat and the way it slithers around, they thought that looks like a little bit of a small eel, so they called it an Asog.
And why is it an insult?
Oh, well, just because, you know, it's someone who's spiteful and hot-headed. Because if you've ever trapped a stoat in the wild, they sort of hiss at you and stare at you.
Not great, yeah. No. Yeah. So that, and that's an example of where somebody would take something from nature and say, right, I'm using this to insult somebody.
Exactly.
I was intrigued on that score, mm-hmm. by the word for bull,
yeah.
if I can find it here. The first one that you mention is the stúchin, stúchin, right?
Exactly.
When I was growing up, someone who was a bit of an eejit was called a stúchán.
Hmm.
Is it related to the bull with the horns at all, do you think?
So a stúch can be a stunted little thing. So it could either be, a stunted little thing, or stúchin, as you say, a cow with an upturned horns. It could also be from that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different words for cows. And a lot of them are slightly derogatory. And a lot of them are derogatory to women, but they were used by women at other women. A man wouldn't have used these against a woman, not in their company anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the women, when they were, you know, either weaving or collecting seaweed, they were constantly shouting these sort of fun, insulting words at each other.
Lovely. Will you take us through some of the names for cows?
Cows, yeah. So everyone knows bow, you know, and bow is ancient. Like bow is a Sanskrit word. The Sanskrit word or the Hindu word for cow is go. and Bo is the Irish. It comes from the exact same root because our language, it's an Indo-European language. Our roots, our connections. It's not about Irish versus English. It's Irish versus Sanskrit and all of the other Indo-European languages that we first got whenever we moved out like 4,000 years ago. But Cúbach is a cow with bent-in horns, or Drimmen. You hear about Drimmen places. This place is called Drimmen, which is a white-backed cow. And then Riavach is a speckled cow. There's a whole mythology about on Bo Riavach. Then Brebre, a reckless cow, or you can also use that for a rude person. Brebre, os Brebre Cartu. Canon is a white-faced cow, but it also means that star design that you see in the foreheads of certain animals. It can be in donkeys, it can be in cows, it can be in horses, which is just, again, that idea of looking at things sharply, which is how children look at the world and how we, you know, we then put a gauze under our eyes and we don't see it. Bleanach is a white-loined cow. Brody, a thieving or a wandering cow. You even use that for a person. He steals, but it's mainly for a cow who wanders and takes things away. Bonin is a little cow. Blachtach, a milch cow. Ealach, a cow after calving. Muelin, a hornless cow. Raspa, a bony old cow. Bo Hermig, a cow that's about to give birth. My favourite word for cow, I don't think I put it in the book because I thought it was too dark. It's Dionach, and that's the lonesomeness of a cow bereft of her calf.
Ah.
And the calf is forcibly taken so that we can have milk or cream. Dionach is that bellowing the cow does.
So you need to know your cows.
Can I give you one more?
It's yes.
The ox. There's an ox, so a dove is an ox, but then there's a dove conchid. Now this is old Irish, it's not in the dictionaries anymore, but it's a wolf fighting ox. So you had the cows and the ox, and you know, an ox is like a castrated bull. You have them up in the hills grazing. But a wolf, you know, we had wolves in Ireland until 300 years ago, until the 18th century. So at any time, a wolf could attack the cattle. And so you had this ox, this really tough castrated bull who was protecting him. His only job was to fight the wolves.
And he had a special name.
Yeah.
Just one last one, because I know we have to go soon. A useless horse or person called a stagheen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stagheen. Am I saying that
you
properly?
Have it exactly.
Now?
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is connected to a potato softened and spoiled by frost, rotten and worthless. I mean, what an insult.
It's great. It's brilliant. Exactly. And, oh, there's so many words for horrible little wrinkly old potatoes, and most of them can be used for people as well. Yeah, I think I have about five different words in it for different types of measly potatoes.
And helpfully in the back of this, which I should study in more detail, obviously, is you're telling people how to pronounce them. You're showing them phonetically how to pronounce these things, because it can be quite daunting sometimes when you're looking at these words that you mightn't be used to.
Yeah, it is. It's the sounds that makes these words come alive. And so to have that spell at the back, you can pronounce it and suddenly the word comes alive. And
Moncon, we have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us. It's out now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Tree it Dogs, Banshee Fingers and Other Irish Words for Nature by Moncon McGann and illustrated by Steve Dugan. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.